All right, lots going on. Well, today's a special day. Today is a day that we recognize our veterans. We thank them for their service. We have set a special day aside here in the United States to do that, but it's something that we should make sure to do every single day that we get to encounter one of them. Be sure to thank a veteran for their service. They have sacrificed, they have given so much to make sure that we enjoy our freedoms. And this right here is one of them, the ability to come and gather together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and to be able to listen and hear the word of God without fear of persecution, without fear that some army people will come through here and confiscate our Bibles or put us in prison for proclaiming the name of Jesus. This is a precious freedom that we have. Aren't you thankful for that freedom? Come on, give the Lord praise. So I was thinking, first of all, I've got to put a little disclaimer out here. I'm horrible at telling jokes, okay? And so let's just put that out there. I've been told this multiple times. But I'm going to start this morning and see if I can more or less do something. If I completely ruin the punchline, y'all just smile at me, okay? Just make me feel good. Don't. So there was this couple, and they were needing marriage counseling. And so they went to a counselor. And they arrived there, and the counselor says, okay, let's start with you, sir. What seems to be the main issue that you have in your life right now? And he said, well, I'm a pastor. And he said, I have found that it's just completely draining my life. I am struggling with my marriage. I'm struggling with all of these things. And if I just had better congregants, I could be a better pastor. If it wasn't for my parishioners, I could be a good pastor. And then all of my troubles would go away. And counselor turns to the wife and says, okay, how do you see this? And she said, well, I tell you what, she goes, I am a wonderful person, and I know that I could be a great wife if it wasn't for my husband. And so they both looked at each other and frowned and made faces at each other and then looked at the counselor and said, how do you see this? And he said, well, I tell you what, he says, I'm an excellent counselor. He said, if it wasn't for my clients, I would be doing really good right now. So thank you for laughing. I appreciate that. All right. All right. So we're going to dive in this morning. Living the experience. Live the experience is the title of the message. I thought this was a great picture. My wife said, yeah, this is good. This explains living the experience and an experience. My son said, no, go do the next one. He said, this is the one we should use. And yeah, if you look up roller coaster rides, there are some fascinating pictures, I tell you, some very fascinating pictures. But I thought if we had that up there the whole time, people would not be able to pay attention. They would be freaking out, probably. Some people might be feeling queasy, so we're going to take that down, and this is the real one here, that live the experience, the supernatural obsession. So this is kind of a culmination, this message today, about this supernatural obsession that we've been talking about. So we're going to try to get through this, but this is something that we understand. We've been talking about this for the last 3 or 4 weeks, but we understand this to be that there is a pull within each and every one of us. There is a tug, there is a draw toward the supernatural, this obsession for the supernatural. The God we serve is a living God. The Bible does not contain the fullness or the extent of who he is or what he has done. I'm going to say that again. The Bible does not contain the fullness or the extent of who he is or what he has done. He's infinite. He had no beginning, and there is no end to him. The Bible is a historical account of mankind and our relation to the sovereign one. It also gives us a glimpse toward the future and what is to come. In addition to this, it is the guide for us in our supernatural pursuit of relationship with God. It is a moral compass. It is the atlas. It is the user manual for life. The Bible was never meant to take the place of relationship. This book was never meant to take the place of relationship. It was never meant to be the extent of our interaction with or our knowledge of God. It helps us to know the character and nature of our Creator. It defines His will. It even gives us clarity on how relationship with God works and what it looks like. But it was never meant to replace relationship. The Bible is the introduction to Yahweh. Psalms 19, verse 1 through 4 says, "The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display His craftsmanship. Day after day they continue to speak. Night after night they make Him known. They speak without a sound or word. Their voice is never heard, yet their message has gone throughout the earth and their words to all the world." Creation speaks of who God is. It proclaims His glory. We can even sense His presence when we get out in the wilderness. When we get away from all the noise, we can encounter His beauty, His majesty. We even feel closer to Him. There is a certain awe that sets in, an overwhelming sense of appreciation, admiration, and love. In Psalm 127, verse 3, it says, "Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from Him." Isn't that cute? Every time I look into the eyes of a newborn baby, I see wonder. Every time I hold a helpless, innocent bundle of joy, my heart is overwhelmed. I marvel at the mystery of birth. I marvel at how we as human beings are able to create and bring forth life. It is impossible not to experience love, joy, purity, and innocence of conscience when encountering a newborn child. In that moment, I experience God's presence. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 says, "So God created human beings in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them." Genesis 2:24 says, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Every time I am embraced by my wife, every time we hold each other, the time that we spend together in communion, there is an essence of God's very image that is touched. My relationship with my wife is meant to be an extension of my relationship with God. When we experience these different things, we are experiencing the presence of God through people. Matthew chapter 25, verse 37 through 40 says, "Then these righteous ones will reply, 'Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will say, 'I tell you the truth. When you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me.'" Because we were created in the image of God, we have the ability to encounter God through others and to be extensions of God to others. It is to say that we are in relationship with God. We are in relationship with God when our relationship with others is a reflection of our relationship with God. Psalm 22, verse 3. But you are holy, you who inhabits the praises of your people, Israel. Matthew 18, 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Psalm 16, verse 11. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. When we come together to corporately worship, we encounter God's presence. Whether we lift our voice in song, lay prostrate in adoration, or simply stand, sit, or bow in reverence, there is a powerful peace, an overwhelming joy, an all-consuming, deep healing love that we experience because God's presence is here. All of these are ways that we can experience God. We are aware that He is alive because He is not just someone we read about in the Bible. There is so much more to God than just what we can read about. We can only truly know God when we are in relationship with Him. John chapter 21, 25 said, Jesus also did many other things. If they were all written down, I suppose the whole world could not contain the books that would be written. Romans 11, verse 33 through 36 says, Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become His counselor? Or who has first given to Him, and it shall be repaid to Him? For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Our words are not capable of accurately describing Him. Our words are not capable of it. I'm fascinated by the story of Elijah. I'm fascinated by the story of Elijah. He is a man that walked in a level of experience beyond the realm of the written text. I want you to think about this. He said, there will be no rain upon the earth. And it stopped raining. The thing that I find so curious about the prophet Elijah is that when you read the text, you don't really see where God actually gives him specific instructions. Say this, 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 and this. And he goes and does and or says exactly what God says or does. He just seems to show up on the scene and say, this is what God is saying. And there is something that happens as a result. Did you know that the Lord told him, I have instructed a widow to feed you. That was what we read in the text. I've instructed a widow to feed you. So he goes down to the city, and he sees this widow picking up sticks. And he says, would you bring me some water? Now, it hadn't rained, right? So water was a scarce thing. So she goes to get him a little bit of water. And as she's going, he says, and would you bring me something to eat? And she turns around and looks at him and says, all I have left is just a little bit of flour and oil, just enough for one last meal. I'm actually gathering sticks right now so my son and I can have one last meal, and we're going to die. There's nothing else we can do. Now, I'm still thinking about the instructions that God gave him. But this is what he says. He says, go ahead and take that portion and take some of it and make me something to eat first. And then afterwards, you can cook something for your children, your child and you, and everything's going to be okay. Now, I don't see that anywhere in the narrative of what God said to tell her. I don't see God saying, this is what's going to happen, and this is what you're going to do, and this is how you're going to do it, and this is what you're going to say. He was living in an experience with God that was real, it was active, it was breathing, it was spur of the moment, it was instantaneous. God was speaking through him in that moment. God was instructing him in that moment. It was like as if he was at another level, just connected, and things were happening. A little bit later in the narrative, the woman's son dies unexpectedly. He takes the child, he goes upstairs, he lays him out on the bed, and it says he lays on top of him. And he cries out to God, bring life back into the show. He did it three times. Now, I'm looking through scripture, right? Before his time going, where has this ever happened before? Where has it ever happened that the way to raise a child from the dead is to take them up into the room, lay them across the bed, and lay on top of them? I don't see that anywhere in scripture. And yet he was in the moment, and he was acting upon what he knew. He was acting upon relationship, and God answered his prayer in that moment. In that moment. You know, he was the one that called fire down from heaven. I wanted to share this story with you. First of all, he goes and he has this, well, I'm not going to tell the story in succession, so let me just tell you this story. So he's sitting on top of a hill. He's sitting on top of a hill. The queen is mad at him, and she sends, there's a king that's mad at him, and he sends 50 soldiers with a captain to go get him. Says, bring him to me. So he's sitting up there, and here come these 50 soldiers and says, man of God, the king wants to see you. Come down. And he said, well, if I am a prophet of God, may fire come down out of heaven and destroy you. Fire falls and destroys them. The king hears about it, sends another 50. Same thing. Here come these 50 soldiers with this captain. He says, man of God, get down. He says, if I am a man of God, let fire fall and destroy you. And it happens. The king apparently, you know, wasn't all there. He sent another 50. This time the captain shows up and goes, have mercy on me. Please don't hurt me. Please don't hurt my man. But the king really wants to talk to you. And God, it says, then God spoke to him and said, go with him. It's going to be okay. And so he did. But I'm sitting there going, where in the scripture does it say, if you don't like the people that are there and they're coming at you, you can just say, if I'm a man of God, fire fall. And they, I mean, I don't see that in the text, and yet he did it, and God honored it. He is this kind of guy that was just at another level. He was connected with God. He was connected with God. When the Lord finally told him, the Lord said, go to present yourself to King Ahab. Let him know that rain's coming soon. That was what the scripture says, the narrative says. Go present yourself to Ahab. Let him know rain's coming soon. He goes over there. He presents himself to him and says, and the king says, look, you're the one that's troubling Israel. He says, I'm not the one that troubled Israel. You're the one that's serving Baal. It's your fault that there's no rain. He says, but I tell you what. You get all of the prophets of Baal together and you show up over here and we're going to have us a standoff. We're going to see whose God is really God. He says, we're going to put two sacrifices together and the God that shows up and answers with fire, he's God. By the way, this was before he had actually called fire down from heaven and destroyed this. So he hadn't done that one yet, okay? And so he's there. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, wait a minute. That's not what I heard God say. God said, go present yourself and tell him that rain's coming soon. But he goes on and he's saying, okay, this is what we're going to do. So he gets them all over there. He says, okay, you go first. So they get their 400 prophets of Baal, and they pick the cow that they wanted to sacrifice. They build the altar. They put the cow on the altar, the wood on the altar, and they start dancing around and doing their, I'm going to call them shenanigans. They were trying to call down fire from heaven. Oh, Baal, da-da-da-da. And it says they did this for like, I don't know, till noon. It was lunchtime, you know. And you know how we get when we get hungry, right? We're tired, and they've been doing all this stuff for all this time. And so Elijah's sitting there. I can just see him, okay? I can see him. He's got like his mantle laid out. He's kind of laying there on the ground, you know, maybe playing with some rocks or something and looking up at him and going, hey, he's probably on a trip. Why don't you yell a little bit louder? Maybe he's relieving himself. You know, maybe give him a little bit of time. You know, and he just starts taunting him. I'm going, what in the world? This is what he's doing. It's in the Bible. He's telling us what he did. So then the time comes and he says, okay, that's it. That's it. You've had your fun. You've had your chance. He says, bring the sacrifice. So he builds the altar of God. He puts the wood on the altar. He tells them, dig a trench around the altar. They dig a trench around the altar. He takes the animal and he sacrifices, places it up on the altar. And then he says, hey, go get some water. This isn't hard enough. Go get a little bit of water and dump it on everything. And he does it like three times. They pour water all over thing. It says there was so much water that they poured on there that it was filling the trench all around the altar. And then he says, he stands up. And he says, God, prove to these people that you're who you say you are. And fire falls out of heaven and consumes the sacrifice, consumes everything, even consumes the water out of the trench. I've never seen fire consume water, but that's what happened. This is the kind of man that is connected with God. This is the kind of man that is living an experience. He's not following, you know, okay, let me see. What three words am I supposed to say? And I'm supposed to stand on one leg and hop, you know, and okay, now this is going to happen. No, he was living an experience with God. He was in relationship with God, and God cared for him. At the end of the time here on earth, and I say it that way because Elijah didn't die. At the end of his time on earth, he's walking and he gets down to the River Jordan. He takes off his mantle. Some people call it a prayer shawl. Takes it off, wraps it up, whoosh, hits the water, and the river parts, and he walks across. Was that a pretty cool sound effect that I did there? Yeah, okay. He walks across. I'm going, who is this guy? Like, we've tried walking on water and that doesn't work. You know, have you ever tried to part your soup, your tomato soup or something? I mean, I don't know. It's just like we can't. And yet he's just living in this. And he gets over there and all of a sudden a chariot of fire shows up and takes him up into the sky. And he's gone. I'm reading this story, and it sounds so crazy. It sounds so much bigger than reality. It's like I'm reading some fiction novel or something. The things that I'm reading in here, and yet it's the Word of God. It's the Bible, and it's in there for a reason because it's trying to help us to understand something, and that is that God desires relationship with us, and we can live at a place in communion with God where we are hearing from him in the moment. In the moment. And he is directing our every thought, our every step, our every word. We can be in a place where we are living the experience. 1 Kings 18:24, this is the scripture that said, "You call on the name of the Lord your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, he is God." He is God. He ascended into heaven in a whirlwind. He lived on another level of relationship with God. He was so in tune with God, with God's will, that he walked in an authority that few have ever experienced. For all intents and purposes, he served as God, an accurate reflection of God here on this earth. God is so intent on relationship with us that he's given us the Holy Spirit to live within us. When you are in relationship with God, there's a level of communion between our spirits and God's spirit. There is a level of fellowship with God that is so distinct that it changes what we hear, what we see, what we feel, and what we think. When we live in relationship with God, his presence within us so transforms who we are that his power transcends the limitations of our being. His power transcends the limitations of our being. John chapter 14, verse 12. It says, "I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done." This is Jesus speaking. "And even greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father." Matthew chapter 10, verse 7 and 8. Says, "Go and announce to them that the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, cast out the demons. Give as freely as you have received." If our only concept of relationship with God is that of a devoted subject, then we are missing the point. God has angels as his subjects. We were created to rule and reign with him. We were created from the beginning of time in his image and in his likeness. When God created mankind, it was not for the purpose of having more minions to do his bidding. He created us as replicators of himself. We were created to replicate God. Will you choose to believe about yourself what God already knows about you? Will you choose to believe that you can be the expression of Jesus that others desperately need? Will you choose to believe that you were called to do greater things? This supernatural obsession, this supernatural pursuit, this divine pursuit, all of this is the result of the fact that we were created by the living God to be in relationship with him. We were created in such a way that our relationship with God would result in him being replicated through us to those around us. Jesus said it this way, Acts 1:8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses." You will be my witnesses. Witnesses to what? God is so intent on relationship with us. He is so intent on relationship with us that he sent us the Holy Spirit. The roadmap, the compass, the atlas, these were never meant to replace the journey. The roadmap, the compass, the atlas, they were never meant to replace the journey. The user manual was never meant to replace the user experience. The Bible was never meant to take the place of relationship. It guides us through our journey. It yields clarity on the how-tos of life. It enhances our experience by overview of the special features that we have available to us. if all we do is read about it, we are missing out on all the fun of the experience. What's the saying? I wish I could describe it to you, but you just had to be there. You just had to be there. Isaiah chapter 40. Who can fathom the spirit of the Lord or instruct the Lord as his counselor? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him, and who taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge or showed him the path of understanding? Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and his people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even the youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. As I'm concluding this morning, live in the experience. Savor every moment that you are blessed with on this earth. Choose to find beauty in every tragedy. Look for the good in everyone. Think of yourself as an extension of God here on earth. Live intentionally, not reactionary. Live from the source of life. Live in relationship with God. Appreciate the essence of God in all of creation and care for it. Every day sets before us good and evil. In every moment in life, we've been given this choice. God is good. Living in relationship with God is choosing good. I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life. The power of life and death are in the tongue. Set your mind on things above and not on the earth beneath. Philippians 4, verse 4 through 9 says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, that was the Apostle Paul speaking, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. The God of peace will be with you. living the experience is recognizing that God is real, He's alive, He desires relationship with you. He's the creator of all that is around us. He's the creator of all mankind. And our interactions with one another are an opportunity to experience God. Our interactions with creation are an opportunity to marvel at the beauty and the essence of God. Our experience when we come into this place in worship is an opportunity to encounter God. God is real. He desires relationship. He wants to speak to your heart. He wants to guide you through life. The Bible is extremely important. I don't want anybody to ever think that I am speaking or belittling this word. The word of God, it is our guiding source, a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. It is what gives us foundation for relationship. It's what brings clarity to things. But it's never meant to be the source of relationship. Relationship should always be with our Creator, a living, breathing God who loves us, who died for us, who is risen again, and who is returning to take us home. If you're here this morning and you know that you're not in relationship with God, the Bible is very clear. The first step to relationship is to recognize your need for God. Recognize your need for God. That's number one. The second thing is to repent of your sins. That's simply saying, Jesus, I recognize that I need you. I want to be in relationship with you. I'm sorry for the things that I've done, that the things that I've said, the things that I've thought that were contrary to who you are. I repent of my sins. The third thing is to make Jesus the Lord of your life. Come into my heart. Take control. I give you full control of me. Pursue relationship with God and with others. Get in the church. Get in fellowship. Get in relationship. Get in the Word. Learn who God is. Pursue relationship. Ask for His Holy Spirit to fill you. Seek Him, that He would give you the power to live as children of God. This is relationship. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you were here this morning and you would say, I am not in relationship with God. I'm not in relationship with God. I'm not in relationship with the living Creator of the universe. And I sense in my heart that I'm being pulled towards relationship. I want to be in relationship with this God, this supernatural God who loves me, who died for me, who rose again, and who is one day returning. I want to be in relationship with Jesus. I want to make Him the Lord of my life. If that is you here this morning, would you raise your hand right where you are? Just slip your hand up and say, I want to be in relationship. I see that hand. See that hand. Is there anyone else that would say? Anyone else that would say, I want to be in relationship? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just pray together. Lord Jesus, say this with me. Lord Jesus, I recognize my need for you. I recognize that I'm nothing without you. I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me. Make me whole. I surrender myself to you. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you rose again and that you're coming back to take us to be with you forever. I commit to your word. I commit to your family. Come and accept me as your child. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, we believe that this is the first step to being a child of God. You have committed your life to Christ and you have been born again. Would we give the Lord a praise offering in this place for what he has done? Amen. God is good. Living the experience is living in relationship with God. Relationship with God begins with worship. Worship is accurately reflecting God in all that we say and do. It is giving God his proper place in our lives and allowing him to shine through us. We begin to live the experience when we experience God living through us. This is relationship. This is the divine pursuit. This is the magnificent supernatural obsession. When every fiber of our being is controlled by the supernatural, one true living God. We are living the magnificent, divine, supernatural experience for which we were created when we are in relationship with him. Father, as we stand in this place and we've lifted our voices, declaring that we exalt you as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who is above every other name, may it be so, God, that you would take your place in our hearts, in our lives, that as we align ourselves with you, that you would continue to live through us. May we live the experience. May we live the experience, oh God. May we not just sit on the sidelines. May we not just be comfortable with head knowledge, but may you take and you change our hearts and allow us to live in relationship with you. We thank you for these things, Father. I pray, oh God, that you would just bless each and every person that is here today, that you would prosper them, that you would be with them, that you would guide them, that you would speak to their hearts and help them to know that you are real and that you are drawing them towards relationship. Lord, we thank you for this. May we be more sensitive to hear your voice, more sensitive, Lord, to obey those gentle nudges that you give us. Lord, as we seek your direction in everything we say and do, that you would be honored through our lives, that you would be honored, Lord, and that you would live through us. Lord, may we begin to experience this as the Holy Spirit fills us and guides us. Lord, we thank you for these things. In Jesus' name, and everybody say, amen.